this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, our foundational text for this series of lessons that we're in right now, and we're teaching on preparing for your outpouring. Preparing for your outpouring. And there it is in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed. And you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. We've been teaching for the last several weeks on preparing for your outpouring based on a prophetic revelation, a prophetic word God gave to me to give to the church. And when I say to the church, I'm just not talking about our church, but the church family, that we should prepare for an outpouring in October. And October, of course, is our time of, you know, vision, but also it's our time of helping others with their vision when the pastors come from across America. For the last several years, we've had moves of God that have been, you know, indescribable. I mean, when services where the power of God have manifested in such a way, there's no way to describe it. There's just no way to describe it. You knew God was in the house. It wasn't emotional, but you knew the presence of God. There was a reverence in the place that was just indescribable. Preachers could not open their mouths to talk. I mean, the whole schedule that we have was thrown totally off. God has showed up. Now, God told me he's going to do something real special this year, so I'm real excited about it. But then he had me begin to study outpourings, because the prophetic outpouring that he told me to declare, anytime God says something in his word, says something through a prophet, a prophetic person, you'll be able to find references of it in the word of God. So God had me study outpourings in the Bible, and that's why I'm teaching now, because there are outpourings we don't have to wait for October to receive. Now that's a special outpouring from a rhema word from God, but there are scriptural outpourings that as we study these, we'll be in faith for them right now. Amen. Now, so on last week, we began to study, as we began to study the tithe, but we're not only going to study this outpouring, we're going to study the prophetic outpouring declared by Elijah, the prophetic outpouring declared by Joel, the prophetic outpouring declared by several other prophets in the Bible. We're going to do a thorough study. Never taught on this, that's why I'm so excited about this, teaching on these outpourings, because outpourings are benefited by those who have positioned themselves to receive. And I want to show you how to position yourself to receive an outpouring. Here's what an outpouring is, definition time. An outpouring, in the context of this lesson, is a divine move of God, of overflowing discharge, of kingdom blessing, for protection, for provision, for power, that holds tipping point potential. Tipping point potential that causes the lives of those who receive it to never be the same. It's really a metaphor for God's intervention, God's inspiration and God's involvement. I'll give it to you again. It is a divine move of God, of an overflowing discharge of kingdom blessing, for protection, for power, for provision, that holds tipping point potential, that causes the lives of those who receive it to never be the same. Now that's what the Spirit of God spoke to me, and this whole thing about tipping point potential. I mean, you've probably never even heard me use that term tipping point, but that is a word God spoke to me. In our last webcast that we had, I was there. I think we were receiving the offering, and I heard God speak. He said, "Tipping point." Now, I know how to hear the voice of God. And that is what is so amazing to me. You know, I'm coming up on 50 years in ministry. Everybody say, we're his young-looking self. Yeah, 50 years in ministry. I got called to preach when I was 9. On not this Monday, but next Monday I'll be 59. You got it? So I've been called for 50 years. They made me wait 1 year, because, and that was wisdom, because here's a little 9-year-old kid telling me he heard the Lord. They needed to know whether I'd been eating some I can't say pizza because we couldn't afford pizza. But anyway, they wanted to make sure I'd heard from God, so they made me wait. That was wisdom. Then they watched me to see if I was serious about it, God. And so then after a year, they let me preach my first sermon. So next year I would have been preaching 50 years. I've been called 50 years. But see, I've been able to hear the voice of God. I've been able to, from the day God called me to preach, I've been able to hear his voice. And so, see, I didn't go to school to learn how to do this. You know, I do what I do here as a pastor because I hear the voice of God. New Light has grown the way it has grown. It has gone the way it has gone because I hear what God tells us to do. You follow me? And so, no, we're not a church as usual. We just come in, sit there, hear the choir, hear about a holler, shout, and go home. We're on assignment. Amen. Got it? We're on assignment, and we are impacting the lives of others. And so when I hear a word of God, word from the Lord like this, you know, I always go with it and I check it out in the scripture and I see it, man. So here I am now. I'm standing there receiving the offering, and we had a good time of teaching. And I hear God says, tipping point. And I spoke it out. I said, I just heard the Lord say tipping point, tipping point. And then I began to study what a tipping point was, because I never used that term. But I heard the Lord say tipping point, because outpourings have tipping point potential. Now we're going to study. Tipping point now would be, here's a good definition for a tipping point. It is when something happens that causes an immediate change and then sets in motion a chain of events that are unstoppable. Something happens that causes immediate change right then, but then it sets in motion a chain of events that are unstoppable. When you look at it in the science field, it's like when there's stability in something, and something disrupts the stability and it sets into motion something that's unstoppable, whether it's some epidemic or whatever it is, then that's what they call a tipping point. In sociology, it's something that happens in the social realm, that once it happens, the thinking of people change and it sets in motion a chain of events that seem to be unstoppable. But scripturally, we're going to see that there are some things that happen in the kingdom of God, that once they happen, an immediate change takes place, but it also begins to set into motion a chain of events that are unstoppable. Everybody say unstoppable. Unstoppable. All right. And so this particular teaching that we're in now, as we're studying the prophetic outpouring of that Malachi declared, we're going to see that it has tipping point potential. That when you become a tither, you set into motion some things that are unstoppable. Now go with me your Bibles now to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, because the Bible teaches us that we need to be stirred up. Everybody said need to be stirred up. Verse 12 says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it's meet, or it's necessary, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. This is Peter saying, listen, I'm going to tell you some things you may already know, but listen, it's going to stir you up. And so today I want to share some things that maybe I've shared in the future, in the past, but it will serve to stir your faith up today. Some of you have never heard it. Of course, it'll be a new revelation for you, but others, of course, it will stir you up. Now, we proved last time together that tithing is the will of God. We dispelled the myth that it's under the law. We went back and studied the scripture. Saw it before the law. Saw it incorporated into the law. Saw Jesus address it in his ministry. And saw the New Testament church still respecting the tithe. So we're beyond that, all that, you know, the confusion and the controversy. Well, tithe is under the law. We know better. We got the word on it. Then also we said that really the reason people don't tithe is because of personal greed. Once a person understands what God says is his and you don't give it to him, there's a reason. And the underlying reason is greed. So we looked at Achan and saw that Achan was full of greed. And we looked at another guy, Ananias and Sapphira. It's never good to withhold from God what he declares as his. But we don't want to motivate you with negatives. We want you to be motivated to obey God in tithing. And those of you who just need to be reassured and fired up again in your tithing, because Malachi's whole prophecy was this. He was telling the folk, because they had been giving, but then they strayed away. He said, come on back now. Y'all need to come on back. And he says, and here's what God says he'll do. He'll open the windows of heaven for you, pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. He'll rebuke the devourer. Okay? He began to lay out this list of things that God, in a positive way, said that he would do. And so that is the key to becoming a consistent tither, is understanding what God says he'll do in your life. Go open your Bibles now and look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, how many of you have ever heard my story, my testimony on tithing? How many ever heard my testimony? Raise your hand. All right. How many never heard my testimony on tithing? Never heard it. Raise your hand high. All right. See, there's a lot of people never heard my testimony. See, all y'all think that's why I need to tell it, because everybody don't know what y'all know, see? Amen. Now, everybody say years ago. Years ago, I made some poor choices. I had a scholarship at University of Texas in Austin, four-year scholarship. Not only that, but I had a work-study program with Shell Oil Company. Pretty much my future was pretty much set. Then I thought I was in love. I dropped out of school. And then the real world hit me. Because nobody could tell me anything. And so I gave up the scholarship, gave up the work-study program because I'm grown, I'm a man, blah, 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 blah. But the hog pen, what wisdom will not teach, the hog pen makes crystal clear. So with crystal clarity, I understood I had blown it. So now I am working in a warehouse, making $65 a week. Payday is depressing. Because I got more money, I got more month than I got money. Follow me? And so a guy walks up to me and he says, Ira, if you will tithe, God will bless you. Then in the same light, he tells me, he said, but I'm not a tither. Can't believe that this guy is telling me to tithe, but he's not doing it. But that was a divine appointment, because that day it resonated down on the inside of me. And even though he told me he wasn't a tither, it didn't bother me. I grew up in a church, the church I started preaching in as a little boy. That pastor was a very studious teacher. He taught us on tithing. Later, my mom moved us to another church that did not have a teaching ministry, and they never even stressed tithing at all. So I'm not using that excuse, just giving you a background. But now I went back to start studying tithing, and I saw, yes, that I was a God robber. I had the reason now for everything blowing up in my face, because everything I touched seemed to crumble. You follow me? And so I decided I'd be a tither. Didn't take me long. That's 1 week after I heard about it. 1 week, I started tithing. My next paycheck, I got paid. By my Lord, I got paid every week. I needed it. And now when I think about it, I feel sorry for myself. It's been years ago, but I still feel sorry for myself. So I took out $6.50. I never argued about the gross or the net, because somebody was going to have to wait anyway. So, and then on top of that, I gave a $5 offering. I mean, that's how committed I convinced I was. I needed God's help, y'all. It was bad. I mean, you know, like all doors were closed. I'm in a dead-end job. My God, I'm working in a warehouse. I cannot even afford the steel-toed shoes that I'm supposed to have. I got imitation shoes on. I'm living in the place that's the overflow for the projects. You laughed too loud on me on that, Doc. Now, I'm living in the place where when they're looking for a place to put folk in the project and they ain't got no place in the project, they would move them into this place. Roach infested. Bridget, I was telling, won't tell everybody, it was before her. Okay. But now I start tithing. So after I start tithing, about 2 or 3 weeks into tithing, my supervisor on the job quits. And he goes to management and tells management and recommends me for the job. Now, this is amazing, because I have the least seniority. I just started there. I've only been there maybe 2-3 weeks or so, maybe 4 weeks, four or five weeks, something like that. And now he goes and tells them that I should be supervisor. And so they called me in, interviewed me, told me about the recommendation, and told me that they were going to let me be the supervisor, gave me a raise. Now, I'm still tithing now. I'm still tithing. I tithed off the new money I got. And then about 3 weeks or so into that, I had an idea of how I could rearrange a part of the department that I had to save the company a lot of money. And I implemented that program. And they called me in, gave me another raise. And I kept tithing, You understand? When I increased, I increased both my tithe and my offering. You understand? Because I'm learning to live a different way.
Yeah.
I'm learning to live a different way. I tried it other way. The other way, I was always behind. Now I'm at least catching up, getting ready, you know. And so then one day, this guy named Arnold Gonzalez comes up to me and he says, "Ira, you're a mighty smart guy to be in a place like this." And good news is, since I've been telling this, I think one of my members worked with Arnold, worked at a place where Arnold worked, and told him I was telling this story. And he has since called me. And yeah. Well, anyway, Arnold comes to me and he says, "Ira, you're a mighty smart guy to be working in a place like this." Well, I took offense. "Well, you working here too?" He said, "No, I just moonlight here. This is my extra job, my second job." He says, "Really? I'm a computer operator." And he says, "I'm going to tell my boss about you." Well, the next day, he comes to work with a business card from Southwest Data Management, the president, with Frank Curtin. And he says, "Frank says, give him a call." So I go to the phone and I call him, and he says, Frank Curtin says, "Hey, Arnold told me you're a smart guy, but listen, young man, we don't have any openings, but if you're ever in the area, just want you to drop by, fill out an application. We'll keep it on file, and then maybe in the future when we get an opening, we'll give you an operation, give you an opportunity to become a computer operator trainee." And so I said, "Well, I'll see you in the morning." He said, no, young man, you don't need to come in the morning." I said, "No, I'll see you in the morning." You follow me? I stressed it. So he understood I wasn't going to take no for an answer. He said, "Okay." So I came the next day, fill out an application. He gave me the same story. "Don't have any openings, young man. Arnold says you're a smart guy, but we'll keep your application on file. Hey, by the way, let me give you this little aptitude test." He gives me the aptitude test. And then when he comes out of the office after having checked the aptitude test, he got this big smile and grin on his face. He says, "This has never happened in the history of our company. You made a perfect score on this test. We don't have an opening, but we're going to make one for you." So now here I am. I'm out of the warehouse. Now here's the proposition he gives me. He says, "I'll give you a 90-day opportunity." Now I've never gone to school for data processing, never gone to school for computers. I know nothing about it. Everybody else I'm training with have at least gone to trade school. And here I am, I have an opportunity that that school didn't give me, skill didn't give me. I got this opportunity. But he says, "This is only a 90-day opportunity. Because if you cannot learn this system in 90 days, then we're just going to part as friends and you'll have to go your own way. We have no hard feelings." And so he says, "You need to think about it because you may not want to take this risk." And I said, no, I'm willing. And so there it was. I took the job, only to find out that the guy who was supposed to train me was prejudiced. I worked a 3 to 11 shift, and he was very prejudiced. He would not train me on the system. He would not let me touch the system. In fact, he would put me in a little room where we would take carbon out of paper. Those of you who are old school, you remember that, he's called it a decolator. You pull the carbon out of paper, and that was all I did all night long. Then on top of that, he was telling everybody I was slow, that I couldn't catch on. He was setting me up for failure. Well, this is back in the 70s, so I couldn't cry foul and prejudice because then they kick you out the door. I was the first black that they had ever hired. So, I'm in a quandary though, because here, if this guy continues to do this, I'm out of the door. I'm out of the door in 90 days. You follow me? So I needed God to help me, and he did. A guy named Gene Polak, he worked the 11 to 7 shift. He saw what was going on, and he pulled my coat to the side one day and said, "Hey, Ira, I see what's going on, but listen, if you will punch out at 11 and go to the coffee house or something and come back at 12 after we do the shift change and work my shift all night long, I'll show you how to operate the equipment." Now, that means I got to work two shifts but only get paid for one. But it was an opportunity. And God had raised up somebody to help me. And so I told Gene, okay, I would do it. And so I'd punch out and I'd go fill up on coffee and eat a little food because I want to work all night long, you understand? And Gene brought all of the books that he had from the trade school he went to. And that'd be a time when we had some, kind of like classroom. We'd go through the classroom thing and then I'd be on the machine and that sort of thing. All the while, my supervisor knows nothing about it. He's continuing to tell people that I'm slow and I wasn't catching on, and that the company had made a big mistake in hiring me. So when the day of reckoning comes, he's there telling everybody how slow I was, and he'd done his best, but I couldn't catch on. So the boss said, Frank said, "Well, you know, Ira, you know, we're really sorry about this, but you know, I've kept my end of the bargain, and if you cannot run and this program, the programs, and keep up, you know what we said we're going to do." I said, "Fine." So they gave me the program to run. Now, those are the days when you had punch cards. I'm dating myself. Some of y'all smiling because y'all dated too. Y'all understand that? So they gave me the job, and I was the fastest operator in the company. I will never forget the look on my supervisor's face. And y'all know I got to have a little flip. I just winked my eye at him. Now watch this. My tithing did that. Because once I started tithing, first of all, I changed. It was a tipping point moment for me because I changed. I've never gone back to robbing God from that time. I totally changed because once I understood what belonged to God, I never took God's part. So it was a tipping point because from that moment, I began to live differently. I began to live depending upon God's supernatural help afforded me because I was honoring him with my giving. Secondly, it was a tipping point because it set some things in motion that were unstoppable. My success was set into motion and nobody was going to be able to stop it. Even though the company, you know, had never hired a person, you know, and I had the lowest seniority. You follow me? They decided to change their whole company standard and let me be the supervisor, even though I had the least seniority in the department. You see, my success was unstoppable. A tipping point moment had occurred. You follow me? And then, when I'm looking, I've been working around the warehouse all the time, but now I got this idea how I can improve and work more efficiently. And I'm going to show you all in a minute. See, that's how I'm so smart. No, I'm going to show you in the Bible. Tithing makes you smart. I'm going to show you. Y'all just think I'm a sinner. I'm going to show you. Because everybody says, "How you smart?" Because of my giving. But I'm going to show you. It's going to be scriptural. You're going to see it. And it's going to need the Hebrew or the Greek. And watch this. But now I got this idea. Now, I never went to school for logistics and all this kind of stuff, but I know how to change things. And I rearranged the warehouse, and I'm saving the company money. It was so impactful, they called me in and gave me a raise. Amen. I was just going to do it because I was a supervisor. I wasn't even expecting a raise for doing it. I didn't like do it and then go and say, "Well, what y'all going to do for me? What y'all going to do for a brother? You understand, brother?" Fix. No, I didn't have no idea.
Amen.
And then Arnold goes to his boss. I done worked around all for several months. He ain't said nothing to me. But now after I start tithing, he takes notice of me and come to me and talk to me. He puts himself on the line. It's not like we was buddies and we eating lunch or something like that. He working in a whole other department. He comes to me and says, "You smart." He goes to his boss, put himself on the line, and says, "I think our company needs to hire him."
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it was tipping point. That my honoring God, partnering with God, set into motion things that could not be stopped. Even when my prejudiced supervisor would not train me, my tithing had set into motion my success that could not be stopped. And it's still happening today. It's not just happened in that arena, but in my own ministry. Yeah. It's my tithe. When I had 300 members and told them what God told me to do, and 277 walked off. I don't even think y'all understand the impact of that. 92% of my members left in 1 week, and they didn't just leave, they left noisy. They left saying I was a heretic. They left saying that I didn't know what I was doing. They left saying I was going to fail. They did everything they could do to tear my ministry up on their way out the door. But what God had, I'm about to shout right now, y'all.
Hey!
But because God is my partner, My success has been unstoppable. Oh my God, hallelujah. Look at the person next to say, me too, me too. Come on. Come on, you're a tither. You're a tither. You can identify with this. And if you have not tapped in on that, you need to tap in on it. Because what God does for one, he must do for another. Over the years, nobody has been able to stop what God wanted to do through I.B. Hilliard, through New Life. We're unstoppable because we have the grace of God on our lives. Let me get back to my lesson, y'all. Amen. Now, go with me your Bibles. Where did I tell y'all to go? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Watch this. Now faith. Are you there? Now faith is the substance of things what? The evidence of things what? So I need to know what are my expectations. Hope is my expectation. I need to know what is my rightful expectation when I commit to tithing. What is my rightful expectation when I commit to tithing? Because if I know this, then it can become a tipping point experience for me, and I can expect some things to happen. Remember, we receive based on a two-step process. Number one is my obedience. My obedience entitles me to the promise, and then it is my faith that causes me to experience the promise. Obedience is my right, gives me the right to it, but then it's my faith that brings it into manifestation. All right. So then, tithing is a holy matter. Everybody say holy matter. Holy. Yeah, my tithing is a holy matter. The Bible says in Leviticus 27 and 30, it's a holy thing. So I understand that when I tithe, it's a holy spiritual transaction. That's why you don't, it's a personal thing. You don't miss, I missed the offering. No, you don't miss the offering. Amen. You offer to God anytime. And I thank God we got members here who, if they don't come to church, they still send their offerings. Because they understand this is a personal thing. Oh, yes, it's good that we see the kingdom of God advance, but it's much more than this. God wants to make a personal commitment to you to partner with you for your success. It's not only a holy matter, but it's a heart matter. Everybody say heart matter. It's a heart matter because tithing is an expression of my heart. Because, see, I can give without love, without loving, but I can't love without giving. The Bible says wherever a man puts his treasure, that's where his heart is. Give me your checkbook, I'll tell you what you really love. Amen, amen, amen. And so it is so clear in the scripture that I honor God when I give. It's not me just paying a bill. Thank God we pay bills. Thank God, like I said, we want to see all our bills paid and our budgets met. But when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of really giving, then it's the thing between you and God. Because if all the bills are paid, you still need to give. In fact, if we have multi-million dollar surplus, you still need to give. Because it's a personal thing. Everybody say, this is personal. Right. So number one, it is a what? Holy matter. Number two, it is a heart matter. Now, number three, it is a hearing matter. Everybody say hearing matter. Hearing. Oh yes, you hear from God through your giving. I got quiet on that. I go to Genesis chapter 15. I want to show you this. There's a connection between God speaking to me. And of course, you got to know how God speaks. He speaks through his word. He'll speak through your man of God. He'll speak through an inner witness. There are multiple ways that God will speak to you. But as a tither, I have a right to believe for God to speak to me. And to give me directions and instructions for my life. So there in Genesis chapter 15, are you there? All right, watch this. Verse 1, Genesis 15 and 1. This is Abram. And it says there, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, everybody say, after these things. All right, I need all y'all stand up. Stand up and stretch. Stand up and stretch. Stand up and stretch. Ain't going to go sleep on me. I've been doing all this praying and studying and all this kind of stuff. You ain't going to sleep. Shake yourself. We ain't got about 6-7 minutes, but you're going to get the best out of my 6-7 minutes. All right, stretch. Deep breath. Do what you got to do. Look at the person next to you and say, if you catch me sleeping, you're going to slap me upside my head. All right, you may be seated. Tell me, you better get that whooping too, that you slap me too. Okay, come on now. I got 6 minutes. Come on. I can do this. I watch verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying. So I need to find out what these things were. So in order to find out what these things were, I back up to verse chapter 14. And chapter 14, starting verse 17 down to verse 24, this was when Abraham gave the tithe. So what the Bible was referring to was after these things, after Abraham had given the tithe, then God spoke to him.
Yes.
Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, I'll just give you two witnesses, but I could just run throughout scripture and show you that giving to God provoked God to talk to people. Amen. All right. Is that the only way? No, that's not the only way, but I'm telling you, it is a way. All right, look at verse 7. It says, in that night God appeared unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what shall I give thee? In that night, everybody say in that night. Well, since the Bible really targets that night, I need to know what happened that night. Look at verse 6. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. In that night did God appear unto Solomon. After Solomon gave, you follow me? His 1,000 burnt offering. Then God spoke to him. So it is not only a holy matter. It is not only a heart matter. But it's also a hearing matter. All right, number 4. It is a harvest matter. Harvest, harvest. God says, I'm going to do something. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 again. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. We'll have room enough to receive it. So there's supernatural increase. That God says, I will supernaturally get involved. And when I look at my own life, I saw, wow, God got involved. I've been around all these people all the time. Nobody had done anything. But once I started giving, I could see God began to cause me to increase. I ultimately became a systems analyst. And I never went to school for it. And those who were in my generation will tell you, you were not supposed to even become a programmer without a degree. But I was a system analyst for Litton Industries, not some, you know, shoddy company, Litton Industries, and I never went to school for it. Supernatural increase, amen. Number 2, there is sovereign intercession. Everybody say sovereign.
Sovereign
intercession. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. God says, your honoring me causes me to step in between you and the devourer. Now, you got to get a real revelation on the devourer. Yes, we have authority over the devil. That's one devourer. But anything that will come to devour anything I have as a tither, I have a right and authority to say, oh, no, not me. That's not supposed to happen for me.
No way. Yes, sir.
So I take that over to the health arena. That's why I have a confession. Every harmful germ, disease, or virus that touches my body must die immediately. Why? Because I'm not. Nothing ought to devour my health. Amen, amen, amen. I'm just telling you that the access we have to the supernatural through our tithing commitment with God.
Amen.
But then watch this. I said supernatural increase, sovereign intercession. Here's the third one. Success ideas.
Amen.
That's why I'm so smart. Success ideas. Success ideas come through my tithing. That's why I'm so creative. Now, I'm not trying to be arrogant or nothing. I'm trying to give you the secret. See, most folks don't give you the secret. I'm trying to give you the secret. Now, in Genesis chapter 31, there's a man named Jacob. I want you to go there because I want you to see it in scripture. Man named Jacob. And Jacob's get a creative idea from God that causes him tremendous success. And he credits his tithing commitment for God giving him the idea. Amen. So Genesis chapter 31, Jacob has worked for his uncle Laban. Laban has tricked him several times. And then Jacob goes to Laban one day because he gets this idea from God. And he says, Laban, let me work on commission from now on. So he says, here's what I want to do. I will take all of the solid cows, and you take all of the spotted and speckled cows, and I will just take care of all of the solid cows. And when they produce, if by chance they produce the spotted and speckled, then that will be my hire. Well, naturally speaking, solid cows mating together should produce what, class?
Solid
cows.
Yeah.
But God had given Jacob a creative way to meditate to cause a genetic miracle. And so Jacob had started just keeping the solid cows, but all these solid cows kept having spotted and speckled calves. Yeah. Until he was richer, or he had more cattle than Laban had. So we pick up his explanation of what's going on there in chapter 31. In chapter 31, it says, verse 9, "Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. It came to pass that at the time that the cattle conceived, I lift up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ranged straight, speckled, and gristle. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up thine eyes, lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, or range straight, speckled, and gristle. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am, look at verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou knowest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return to the land of thy kindred." So Jacob says, the angel told me he was here because of what happened in Bethel. So now we got to go back to see what happened in Bethel. Yeah. All right, let's go to chapter 28. Chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. And we'll see what happened in Bethel. That he says, this is the reason the angel came and gave me the creative idea. All right, then verse 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be the house of God, watch, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee tenth unto thee. Can y'all see that? It was at Bethel that he became a committed tither. It was at Bethel where he made the commitment. So when the angel delivers the creative idea, he says, I'm showing this to you. I'm telling this to you because of what you did back in Bethel. The Bible says that that wisdom dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. God can give you creative wisdom, creative insight, and creative knowledge. But you got to make a demand on it. It's your right as a tither for God to give you a creative plan in your situation that will turn your situation around. I'm about to shout, y'all. Because I have been through so many situations where I needed a creative plan and God gave me the plan because I make a demand on my tithing. This became a tipping point for Jacob. Because it set into motion some things that were unstoppable. Laban had tried to keep him down, but he could not stop him. Because now this unstoppable grace was on his life. We're going to be amazed as we study the scripture. I'm closing it now. We're amazed as we study the scripture how this whole thing of tipping point experiences with God through the Bible, that we experience them where we are changed in a moment. Then not only are we changed, but then it sets into motion some things and some events that are unstoppable. When I gave my heart to God in Miss Rachel's house, y'all heard me talk about Miss Rachel. That was the lady that cooked cookies for kids in the summer, and she'd bait us over to her house with the cookies and Kool-Aid. And then she'd tell us a Bible story and ask us we wanted to know Jesus. Well, one day in Miss Rachel's house, I lost all desire and sight on the cookies and the Kool-Aid, but she told me a story about Jesus, and that day was just a day that became a tipping point moment in my life. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I remember, I see it in my mind now, how she took me into another room while they were drinking the Kool-Aid and eating the cookies. She took me in another room by myself, and then she began to explain to me about Jesus having died for my sin, and somehow I understood it all. I got on my knees and asked Jesus to be my Savior. I was changed. It became a tipping point because something unstoppable had been set into motion. What do you mean unstoppable? There is nothing the devil can do to keep me out of heaven. It's unstoppable. My name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. Another tipping point moment happened in my life when I heard the voice of an angel telling me I was going to preach the gospel. My God, here I am 50 years later. When the angel spoke to me, telling me that I would preach the gospel Oh my God. And I said yes to God. That was a tipping point moment when I said yes to him. I was changed that moment. Amen, amen. No longer would I ever become an architect. No longer would I ever become an engineer. No longer would I become a man, a mechanic. God's destiny for my life was that I would be a preacher. My God, my God. Set into motion things that were unstoppable. Nothing has been able to stop me from carrying out my assignment. Then one day I heard about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I grew up in a religious system where we had to struggle and we were straining and we were struggling. But then somebody told me about the Holy Ghost, that I could get filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon me. I had lived my life of worry and stress and struggle and all of this sort of thing. I mean, I had worry lines etched in my face. I mean, I almost had a heart attack at 28 because of the pressure on my life. But I got filled with the Holy Ghost. It was a tipping point moment. I got changed that moment, but it set into motion some unstoppable things in my life. The Holy Ghost backs me up. Tipping point moment in 1984, on a Sunday morning, on Labor Day, when I stood up and said yes to God, that God, I'll build a church. I ain't supposed to do that. I build a church where I'll teach the word. Everybody said nobody will come and listen that you explain the Bible. It was a tipping point decision. 277 walked off. But it was a tipping point moment. God set into motion you showing up. Been unstoppable ever since. What does all this mean, preacher? It means today if you'll make a decision to trust God at another level, that it for you will become a tipping point moment, that you will change right now. You'll leave worry behind. You'll leave stress behind. You'll leave strain behind. You'll leave struggle behind. You will change in a moment when you begin to trust God, and he will set into motion some life-changing events that will not be able to stop you. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. You become unstoppable. I'm out of time. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, nobody's walking or moving. I'm going to let you out in just a moment. Father, we thank you.